I want to turn in God's Word again to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And we're going to read from verse 11 through to the end of the chapter, which is verse 17. James chapter 4, verse 11 through to 17. This is God's own Word. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for but a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone, then, who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. We thank God for the reading of his own word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to listen to what your word is saying to us tonight. Help us to digest it fully in our minds. And help us, each one, to live it out in the week that lies ahead of us, no matter what happens, or whether bad or good or indifferent. And Lord, help us to glorify Christ every waking hour that he gives to us. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got another couple of sermons to do in the book of James, which will take us through to the end of chapter 5. But as I have entitled this series, when I've been speaking about it, is Living a Consistent Faith in Christ. And I think as I have sat down to study and thought about it very carefully, it's really challenged me about my life and about the direction of it and about where I'm going to as well. So hopefully it's been of some help to the folks who gather in week by week. And we've seen many different things here, but tonight what we're going to see is that James really up to this point has been calling the church to live a life that really is characterized by humility and which strenuously opposes worldliness. So the worldliness of the world is left behind, and the humility that is given to us by Jesus Christ and which should be characteristic of every believer's life is something that God's looking for every day in our experience. But what do we find at this point in this chapter? Well, we find that at this point in James's argument that he turns his attention to dealing with two issues that really pervade the lives of every human being, that's central and core to everyone that everyone's affected by, let's put it like that. And those things that all human beings are affected by are slander and boasting. If you were to turn to Matthew's Gospel, to chapter 7, you would find in verse 3 that Jesus, through his extended period of teaching, makes a comprehensive and a very powerful statement about the condition of every human being. And he says in Matthew 7 and 3 that, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and you don't pay any attention to the plank that sticks out of your own eye? Jesus said that. James wants to deal with boasting and slander. Two things are synonymous. As you look at the television screens, we can't fail to be affected at the present point in time by what's going on in our own country, but also what's going on in the United States. And and Donald Trump on Twitter and all of this sort of type of stuff. But Donald Trump in 2015 said this about Mexicans. He said, when Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're sending people that has got a lot of problems. And they're bringing their problems to us. But some, I assume, are good people. Now, here's another person. Some of the younger ones have heard of this girl. An American-Italian singer called Ariana Grande. You heard of her? Nod your head, yes. Here's what she commented. I hate Americans and I hate America. She lives on it and she is American. You see, the temptation to slander lies within each one of us. Now, you might not think that was very slanderous, but Donald Trump was making a generalization, an overgeneralization about people from Mexico. And Ariana Grande made an overgeneralization about people who live in America, including herself. You see, this temptation to slander lies within each one of us. And in the same way, each personal boast that we make only serves to inflate our own egos and to be at the expense of the humility which should be evident in the life of every believer. You see, the lives of every believer, the behavior, as it were, of every believer should be laced with grace and not guile, love and not hatred, righteousness and not evil. And James, what he's really trying to say also is that the life of any human believer is so short that it must be concerned completely. We must be overwhelmed and overcome with doing and accepting what the Lord wills for any individual person's life. And our lives must also be consistent in opposing the failures of the flesh, which are boasting and slander. Now, let's ask ourselves a few questions. Now, I'm asking myself these questions, okay? How often have we been implicit in slandering our neighbor? How often have we said things that we never regretted? How often do we act as if it's our way or the highway? How often do we fail to recognize that we're not always right? John Martin is not always right. John Martin is very often not right. You see, these things affect every facet of our lives, and that is why believers have an advocate in Jesus Christ. And that is also why sinners need a place of refuge and repentance where they may repent and believe. So we're going to look at two things tonight. Verses 11 and 12 have entitled it The Human Judgment versus the True Judge. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges him. That's verse 11. See, James really here makes a change. He makes a shift from describing his audience as the adulterous ones to calling them brothers. Now, he does this for a very specific reason. What he's trying to do is he's trying to attract their attention. He's trying to get them to hear and to understand that all of their lies are being characterized by slander. That their speaking is evil. That their speaking is undergirded by the fact that they do so with evil in mind. And what he's really warning against is against evil speaking. If you return to Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, the second letter, he says there that he suspects that when he will come to Corinth, that he will not find the believers in the way that he wants to find them. He'll not find them upright. He'll not find them on fire. But he'll find them lukewarm and unuseful. And he says, I fear that there may be quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, faction, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. What a wonderful list of things. What a very comprehensive list of the things that he knew that he would find if he was to go to Corinth when he was writing this letter. If we were to turn to Peter in his first letter writes that Therefore, rid yourselves of every malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. You see, to speak evil is to do so as one who does not follow Christ. And James is really clear about this. He's really clear that when a person speaks about his brother in a judgmental manner, he's not only judging his brother, but he is judging the law that judges both of them. And you see, God judges. God judges all men righteously, men and women, and is the only one who is qualified to do so. And that is why, when we judge, we are always prone to make errors of judgment, and which have an impact on ourselves and on other people, and our words and our actions and our deeds. Before the Titanic set sail on its ill-fated voyage, the second officer of the ship was a man called David Blair. And somebody, in their wisdom, decided to remove David Blair from the journey, which was fortunate, I suppose, for him. But what happened was that he forgot to hand in the key, which opened the locker where they were keeping the binoculars, which could have been used to look out for icebergs. On the 28th of June 1914, the driver of the Archduke Franz Ferdinand was instructed to take a different route to a local hospital after an attack which was designed to take the Duke's life. But what happened was he mistakenly turned into the same street where the attack had taken place, and this guy called Gavrilo Princip took a shot which would start the First World War. An error of a judgment. And you see, by comparison, James argues that the activities of his audience, the people who he was speaking to, the people who he was writing to, not only led to judgment of others, but in judging others, they were also slandering the law of God. And really what this means at its base level is that the hearers were trying to set themselves up as being equal or superior to God. And he argues that whoever slanders his brother or his neighbor has disregarded God's law. In other words, they are judges, not doers. No interest in doing God's word, but they're interested in judging it. You see, all of us are totally incompetent to judge anyone because we're all sinners who are in need of a Savior. In need of a Savior is the only righteous judge. And what are the activities of believers? What should be the activity of a believer? What are the characteristics of someone who says they're a believer? Well, the activity of the believer should always be to show mercy and forgiveness so that in return from God they might receive exactly the same things. And that is why the only rightful judge of all the earth is God. And that this only rightful judge is the one who is not only the only judge, but the one who is the creator, who saves and also destroys. If you were to turn to Luke's Gospel to chapter 6, you will find that Jesus' teaching is very much under microscopic identification of the Pharisees, who really are trying to nitpick at what he's teaching, and they want to accuse him about healing on the Sabbath day. And when Jesus responds to them, of course, on every occasion, his response totally confounds them. They don't know where to turn. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. And he says to them, then Jesus said to them, I asked you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And he also reminds his disciples in Matthew chapter 16 that for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You see, none of us can ever presume to play God. None of us can ever presume to play the judge. And none of us have the right to make pronouncements or judgments upon anyone, brother or neighbor. Why? Because we all engage in sinful activity. And we all harbor rivalry. And we all adopt judgmental positions. Martin Luther once commented that our good works do not generate righteousness. Rather, our righteousness in Jesus Christ generates good works. And you see, to act with a disposition that is orientated towards judgment is to really belie the righteousness that Christ has given to the believer. It's really to say that we're happy to continue in disobedience and to say that you may be the righteous judge, but I know better. Paul the Apostle commented in Romans chapter 9 that who are you, man, to talk back to God? And he says, shall what is formed say to him that formed it, what did you make me like this for? And you see, when we are content to point our finger at someone else, it's often a cover for our own sinful pride. And you see, we have no right to claim the possession which is reserved only for God. And we face a constant dilemma which pits our sinful pride against the humility which God expects from each one of us. That's why we need Christ. That's why we need him. That's why the sinner needs to repent. And that's why the lives of believers and the thoughts of believers need to be cleansed. That's why the sinner needs to be cleansed. And that's why our speech then needs to be seasoned by the grace of God. The second thing we'll see tonight is that James looks at human boasting versus the Lord's will. And what he does is he takes a hypothetical example. And he talks about a rich businessman or businessman. And he really uses this as an example from verse 13 following as a template to show that many people like to boast about their future when they've no right to do so. And he uses what's called a future tense. So it's called the future indicative, but I didn't really want to use that phrase because maybe nobody knew what that means. It's about things that are supposed to happen in the future. Things that you hope will happen, things that you aspire to happening. And so he uses phrases like this. We will go. We will spend a year here and there. We will carry on business. We will make money. And you know something, at the bottom line of it all, in real terms, any of these sort of type of fantastical sort of plans are totally out of control for any given person. Because this example that James was speaking about applies to loads of people. Not just the folk he was talking to, but us. You see, for the people he was speaking to, they presumed that they could make it on their own. That they could win by themselves. That they were the masters of their own destiny. How many people do you know who are like that? Are you like that yourself? Am I like that? You see, they would profit and they would depend entirely on their own abilities. And of course, this characterizes the immoral depth of human boasting. Joel Osteen, who is the pastor of 43,000 megachurch, Prosperity Megachurch in Houston, Texas, once gave this boast about how God reacts to human beings. He said that it doesn't matter who likes you or who doesn't like you. All that matters is that God likes you, that he accepts you, and that he approves of you. That's very interesting. Because it's all wrong. Does God like us? Does God like our sin? No. Does God accept our sin? No. Does God approve of our sin? Definitely not. He also went on to comment that it just doesn't come out of me to say that you guys are terrible and you're going to hell. I'd rather say that God's a God of mercy. So there's not going to be no preaching in hell in that megachurch in Houston, Texas. See, this is false. And this gives any given listener the impression and the confidence to boost their own equality and their own qualities. And the facts, folks, we've got nothing to boast about, not one thing. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was the late minister of London's Westminster Chapel, summed it up in this way. See, he said that the false prophet is a man who has no straight gate, who has no narrow way in his gospel. He is nothing that is offensive to the natural man, and that he pleases all. You see, the human heart is an idol-making factory, which tries very desperately to eliminate the fact that the time for every human being on this earth is so short, and it is totally fixed in God's hand. My uncle passed away in the past week, and he was 76 years of age. He was into his 77th year, and you know, something was like a blink. So short. What James does is he eliminates any misconceptions that his readers can control their own destiny. And how does he do this? Well, he argues that their lives are like a mist, which appears and disappears simultaneously. And if you were in Palestine and there's a mist rises up, it isn't there very long because the heat burns it up and it disappears. It disappears and evaporates in a split second. James is really trying to say that the believers to whom he was writing had become indistinguishable from their unregenerate and unsaved counterparts. Human boasting got them nowhere, and it will get us nowhere. Our lives are short. And yet many even of our work colleagues, our friends, maybe even our family members are hoping that their lives will be prolonged on their own terms. How many people here know of someone who just lives to go out at the weekend? Lives for the weekend. They go out, they have a good time, they crash on a Sunday exhausted, and the pockets... And their pockets are a lot lighter because of their activities. But God's nowhere in their lives. God's nowhere in their activities. God is nowhere in their considerations. James is really, really acutely aware and desires that his readers will think very seriously and carefully about the will of God concerning their lives and their actions. And if only they would entrust, and if only they would submit their business, their activities, their thoughts, their plans, and their hearts to the Lord's control. And any of us can only live our lives if the Lord wills it. And any of the plans that we have, or we make, must be God-willing in nature. Can't make plans for 10 years from now. Must be all as the Lord wills. What else does James say? Well, he goes on to talk about bragging. He says, instead you ought to say if it is the Lord's will, as it is, you boast and you brag, all such boasting is evil. Verse 16. Anyone then who knows the good that he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins, verse 17. James finds this to be evident in the lives of his readership. And if you're to turn to Proverbs chapter 27, it reminds us, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day will bring forth. James doesn't want the believers who he is speaking to, the people in the church that he's speaking to have anything to do with boasting. Because it's arrogant, evil, and godless. But how does this affect us? Well, James gives us the answer. What he says is, when we exercise faith in God, we will want to do the things that God desires. We will want to depend on the will of God to guide us into all truth and all righteousness. Faith is a good gift from God. And so we cannot disconnect God's word from doing something with it, doing something useful and positive with his word. And so if we have heard it and not received it, then we are behaving in a contradictory fashion and we are sinning against the word of God. Because if we know what we ought to do and we deliberately fail to do it, then God's word doesn't mean anything to us. Al Oliver, who was a former major U.S. League baseball player, once said that there's no such thing as bragging. You're either lying or telling the truth. It's either the truth or it's an unrighteous lie. You see, for James, human judgment and boasting is the total opposite to the justice of our true and only judge and to his will. That's why the lies of believers in Christ, that Christ enables us to live even through the times when we are tempted to follow our own way. And it's critical, really, that we strive to place every intention of our hearts before the Lord, who judges us rightly, who wills correctly for every one of his children. Thomas Brooks, who was one of the Puritan writers, exclaimed that till men have faith in Christ, their best services are but glorious sins. Till men have faith in Christ, their best services are but glorious sins. And as we close up tonight, you see, folks, until we submit everything in our lives to the Lord, everything, all of it, we merely continue to profit the old man. And you know what we end up doing? We starve the new creation. What does it look for us like in the week that lies ahead? We're going to strive with the Lord's help, who is all righteous and all powerful, strive with his care and his attention towards us to profit the new creation and starve the old and the old man. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to meet here tonight. Thank you for your word, and thank you, Lord, that your word always speaks very clearly to those who listen, to those who receive, and to those who believe. Father God in heaven, help us tonight to go away from this place challenged and helped and encouraged. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.